Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. We shall read at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. The Lord's people will never feel that they have arrived at perfection here on earth, but they will acknowledge that they are not where they wish to be spiritually. And when it comes to prayer, they will acknowledge that they need to be taught to pray. Well, here the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. And if we are his disciples, then we will be very glad that he gives instruction on the duty and privilege of prayer. We hope in the coming weeks, if it's the Lord's will, to spend some time considering the Lord's Prayer. How is the Lord's Prayer to be used? The Larger Catechism has this answer. The Lord's Prayer is not only for direction as a pattern, according to which we are to make other prayers, but may also be used as a prayer, so that it be done with understanding, faith, reverence, and other graces necessary to the right performance of the duty of prayer. So the Lord gives us this as a model prayer, and other prayers are to follow this pattern and these petitions. Yet he does say, pray ye, so we may actually use the very form of this prayer. And on the other hand, he is not telling us only use this prayer, but he says in this manner, in this way, thus we should pray. He does not say, use these words, but after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And what we have before us this evening is the preface of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer consists of three parts, a preface, petitions, and a conclusion. And this evening, with the Lord's help, let us consider the preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is, Our Father, which art in heaven. And we will notice, first of all, the confidence of prayer by the words Our Father. And secondly, the reverence of prayer, which is found in the words in heaven. And thirdly, the accordance of prayer when we consider the word Our Father, which art in heaven. We're to join with others in one accord, praying together. So the confidence of prayer, the reverence of prayer, and the accordance of prayer. First of all, the confidence of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. The Lord teaches us to call God our Father. And remember that he is called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which tells us that we must be in Christ in order to call God our Father. It is true, God is a father to all in the sense that he is the creator of all. He is the father of spirits because he made all spirits. But this is not the sense in which God is called Father here. You see, here in this sermon that the Lord Jesus gave on the mountain, he is speaking to his disciples. We read in chapter 5, verse 1, And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And remember also that he begins with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, and so on. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples, who can call God their Father. Why? Because they are his children. He says, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, friend, is God your father? It's not enough to say, Abraham is our father. It's not enough. Not enough to be baptized in the church and have good fathers and mothers. Do you have evidence that God is your father? How will you know? Well, start with this. What think ye of his son? the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Is Jesus precious to you? And what do you think of his law? Is it a delight to you? Do you love to pray? Do you mourn over your sin? Do you know anything of the blessedness of they that mourn, for they shall be comforted? Do you love meekness and purity of heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, all of this is evidence that God is your Father, because this is evidence that you are among his children. Perhaps you have these evidences, but you still doubt that he is your Father, or you may hesitate to call him Father. But isn't it the case that your desires are calling him Father? Your groans are calling him Father? Your cries are the cries of children to a father, and you are longing after God as your Father. Your inward yearning and dependence on him is in reality calling him Father. Or perhaps you're listening and you have to say this, well, I don't have these evidences, so I cannot call him my Father, and therefore I cannot pray this prayer. Well, what am I to do? What you're to do is to believe in Christ. You are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, pray for this grace to enable you even now to come to God through Christ. Then he will be your Father. God will be your Father. And even now you are called upon. The Word of God calls upon you to draw near to God through Christ, depending on the Lord Jesus and for acceptance with God, and depending upon God as your Father for all your needs. Now the Lord Jesus warned his disciples about vain repetition. In verse 7, he says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." More literally, it is, do not babble. Do not use many meaningless words. Now, this does not mean that we should not pray much or often. No, we are to pray without ceasing. And it does not mean that we should never use the same words in our prayers. But the words that we do use should express our desires. So we may use the same words, but the words we use should give expression to our inward desires. But the point is, there should be no senseless multiplication of words. Redress. This is what the heathen did. This is what the heathen did when they thought the more words, the better, to get the false god's attention. But Jesus' disciples ought not to be that way. And why is that? Why should the disciples of Christ not be like the heathen? Because their Father, the Father of Jesus' disciples, is in heaven, and he knows already what they need. And they are to go to him as children to a Father who knows their needs already. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And they should go to their Father and pour out their hearts before him. And after this manner, they should pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the Lord Jesus not only tells his disciples what they must not do, he also teaches them what they ought to do. That is, he teaches them how to pray. And instead of vain repetition of words, they should recognize the different parts of prayer, praise, confession, and petition. They should see their various needs, and out of a feeling of need and desire, bring all their petitions to God the Father. Our Father, who knows our needs. Well, the Lord's people should ask themselves, why should they worry when he is a Father who cares for his children? Well, what does the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us? The answer to the shorter catechism question is, the preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is, Our Father which art in heaven, teacheth us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence, as children to a Father, able and ready to help us, and that we should pray with and for others. So we are to draw near to God, confiding in Him, as children confide in a father. And what a privilege it is to draw near to God, to have dealings with Him as our Father, drawing near to Him through Christ, and entering into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we can come to God as our Father, knowing that He will not cast us off. And why? Because Christ will not cast us off. And we are accepted in the Beloved, who is saying to us in His Word, "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." And just as children come to their Father whom they trust, we are to put our trust in Him. A father knows his child, well, God knows his children, and He knows their needs, and He loves his children. He will never take his eye from them, and He knows them, what they are, that they are dust, and He knows their weaknesses. In Psalm 103, verse 13, we read, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust." And how comforting this is, that He knows our frame, He knows our condition. When we are low in our souls, we forget that God truly cares for us. He will not give us burdens that are too great for us. He will, in fact, hold us up in our weakness. What confidence David had when he said in Psalm 63, and verse 7, "Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice." He says, "My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me." Well, we should cherish this privilege of calling God our Father. And if we hesitate, well, we should pray that God would enable us to draw nigh to Him and to say, "Our Father in heaven." And let us remember that our prayers should always be with reverence. And so we are to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." Our Father which art in heaven. In the second place, the reverence of prayer. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven." The words "in heaven" show us the difference between the Most High and fathers in the flesh. God is not an earthly Father. He is our heavenly Father, and therefore becoming reverence is due to Him. We are to confide in God. We are to depend on Him as a Father to us. But this does not mean we should be familiar with God in an unbecoming way, forgetting that He is God, and that we are mere human beings on the earth. The fact that He is in heaven and we are on earth is the reason we are to be solemn and reverent before Him. And we are reminded of these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few." So there must not be a hasty multiplication of words. We need to remember in whose presence we are. We're in the presence of the Holy One of Israel. On the other hand, we are not to be afraid of God. There should not be slavish fear of Him, like a prisoner about to be hanged is afraid of the judge. But we should fear God in the way of reverence. There should be reverence and awe of God, having a sense of His majesty. God is the high and lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, and He is sovereign over all. And the fact that our Father is in heaven reminds us of His sovereign power. As we sang in Psalm 115 and verse 3, But our God is in the heavens. Notice that, our God. He is our Father, our God, who cares for us. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He's in the heavens, and with supreme rule, he reigns over heaven and earth. And we are upon earth. Our God is in the heavens, but we are upon the earth. We are creatures of the dust. We remember that we have sinned against him. We have corrupt natures. And from our hearts come all our actual transgressions. Who can understand his errors? When we consider the God of heaven, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look upon iniquity, and who are we to draw near to the Holy One? But he calls us to draw near to him, and through Christ we are accepted with him. Our Father, which is in heaven. And just as a child who is not afraid to come to his father, and yet he treats his father with respect and tries to honor him and tries not to be disrespectful to him, so the Lord's people are not afraid of drawing near to God, but they do so reverently with awe upon their spirits. But here is another encouragement for us. Knowing that God, our Father, is in heaven, not only should make us reverent, but it should also give us encouragement. Because God is in heaven, we know that he is able to do all things. He's not just the God of the hills or the God of the plain, not the false gods of the heathen that rival one another. There is one God, and he is the Father of us all the Lord's people. And he is able to do all things. He's not a mere governor of some portion of this world. No, he is the Father of lights. He is the ruler and governor of the universe. And therefore, he is able to meet all our needs. Just as Nehemiah was in the presence of one of the greatest monarchs in the world, and yet he knew that he was in the presence of the Almighty God, he made his prayer to the God of heaven. And before this earthly king, he prayed to God, and the God of heaven heard his prayer and answered him and brought him to be useful in Jerusalem and rebuild the wall there. Well, the Lord is able to provide and to help and defend all his poor and afflicted people. We know that he is able to do so because he is the God of heaven. And he will not leave his people comfortless. He will not leave them orphans. He will protect them from the oppressor. He will save them from their enemies. We read in Psalm 68, verse 5, that he is a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Just as a child cries to his father when a bully tries to hurt him, so the children of God cry to their Father in heaven. He is able to deliver them from the hand of the enemy, and therefore the children of God will give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And what God does for one of his children, he does for all of his children. And so all of his children should pray. And they should pray to him, our Father, which art in heaven. So in the third place, the accordance of prayer. We consider, first of all, the confidence of prayer, and then the reverence of prayer, and now the accordance of prayer in these words, our Father. God's children should not only pray confidently and reverently, they should also pray together in unity. And the word our tells us that. It's plural, which means there ought to be a plurality of persons in prayer. Of course, we are to pray in secret by ourselves, but we should also join together in prayer with others. That is our duty and our privilege. The word hour certainly means more than one. And so when we are alone, we would say, my Father and my God. But when we are together, we say, our God, our Father, which art in heaven. So, friends, this teaches us to draw near to God collectively. There should be collective prayer. We should join together with God's people as often as we can and as often as is profitable. And not only reminding each other to pray, but we should pray together and pray with one accord. We read the words one accord often in the scriptures. For example, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the disciples were in the upper room, and we read, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So the disciples joined together in unity, praying together, and they would no doubt pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And when Peter preached his first sermon at Pentecost and 3,000 souls were converted, we read that the disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. When Peter was in prison, as we considered not long ago, the church met together in Mary's house to pray for Peter, and they were together continually praying on his behalf. And friends, it is when we pray together, not when we're alone, but when we pray together, when we meet and are united in our desires, that we may plead the fulfillment of the promise in Matthew 18, verse 19, as the Lord Jesus says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If only two meet together and they are agreed, it's not an independent or individual single desire, but it's the desire of at least two. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The Father of God's people is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is through him that prayer is offered and accepted with God. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He is the mediator, and acceptable prayer is through Christ the mediator. And, of course, when we join together in prayer, we are to pray for one another, as well as on our own, praying for the Lord's people, praying for one another, and praying for others who are not the Lord's people, praying that they would be saved. But when we pray together, we are to pray for one another. That's what our catechism states very plainly. The preface of the Lord's Prayer teaches us that we should pray with and for one another. Remember, Paul requested the Thessalonians to pray for them. Brethren, pray for us. And James exhorts the church, chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Perhaps one other thing we can learn from the word our Father. It's so we will know that God is not just the Father of other people, but he is our Father, and therefore we must pray in faith, believing this, believing in Christ. The Lord is teaching us to pray in faith, believing in God through the mediator, that we might know that God is our Father. He is our God, and we are reconciled to him through Christ. And therefore we are to pray in the name of Christ. And it is by drawing our encouragement to pray and our boldness, strength, and hope of acceptance in prayer from Christ and his mediation. Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, this is the privilege of believers, to go to God as their Father. How God condescends and is not ashamed to be called their God, and he is so willing that we draw near to him as children to a Father, able and ready. He is able and ready. He is willing to help us. And knowing that he is in heaven, he is a great king. He is the God of heaven. So we're to bring all our requests to him, no matter how great or small. Our Father in heaven, we are to pray for our temporal needs as well as our spiritual needs, that he would give us our daily bread. And knowing that he is in heaven, he rules over all. He owns everything. The cattle on 1,000 hills is his. Can he not take care of you in all your earthly concerns? And for all the children of God, consider how he delivered you from eternal death, and will he not also take care of your body? He has infinite power, infinite goodness, and infinite knowledge, as the Lord Jesus assures us, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And he can give us all that we need for time and for eternity. And so we are being taught to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And he is therefore a God of infinite resources, and grace belongs to him. And he is not limited by time or place. And therefore, wherever you are, friend, call upon the Lord. Cry to him to give you grace. Cry to him to give you new life and spiritual life in your soul. So draw near to him. Draw nigh to God, poor sinner. Come to him in his appointed way. Come to him through Christ. No, you and I do not deserve a place among the children of God, but this is exactly what he offers to us. Come to God through Christ the door and hear his word. What he says to you is this. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19, But I said, How shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, Thou shalt call me my Father, and shalt not turn away from me. So, friend, call him your Father in Christ, and cleave to him with purpose of heart. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, teach us to pray. We know not what to pray for as we ought. Oh, may thy Spirit quicken us and cause us to pray for those things that are needful to us and which glorify thee. May we look to the Savior, who it is through him that we receive grace. It is because of his finished work that we are accepted with thee. And we know that his blood cleanseth us from all sin. May we earnestly then desire and depend upon the precious blood of Christ, seeking to be clothed in his righteousness, so that the ground and basis of our acceptance with thee and the basis upon which we receive mercies from thee is Christ crucified. And therefore we can expect great things from the God of heaven for poor sinners like us, because we ask for them not because of any goodness on our part, but because of the finished work of Christ and his righteousness as the ground for which to receive mercy and all the blessings we need for this world and for eternity. Hear us, Lord, bless each one in the congregation. Help us to cast our burdens upon thee, and receive us graciously. Uphold us by thy grace. Pardon all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 133. Psalm 133 from verse 1. Behold how good a thing it is, and how becoming well, together such as brethren are in unity to dwell. Like precious ointment on the head that down the beard did flow, even Aaron's beard, and to the skirts did of his garments go. As Hermon's dew, the dew that doth on Sion hills descend, for there the blessing God commands, life that shall never end. Psalm 133, from verse 1, this psalm to God's praise. Behold, how good a thing it is, and how becoming well.